Hello and welcome to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science on UK Health Radio with me, Michelle Hammond. I hope you are all super well. In this episode, you'll have to forgive me a little as I'm a bit congested and so talking very much through my nose. But in today's episode, I want to ask you if you've ever wondered what would happen if you removed all the noise, the excessive stimulation, all the distractions, and spent some time just sitting quietly, alone, in complete darkness. Well, in today's fascinating episode, I'm joined by AJ, co-founder of Within Darkness Retreats, as we explore the ancient and increasingly relevant practice of spending time in darkness. From nervous system regulation and deep rest to altered states of awareness, improved emotional processing and creativity, and a deeper sense of reconnection, we discuss why stepping away from the constant light and stimulation and going inwards to find our own inner guru can help us really rediscover ourselves and see life more clearly. So let's join the conversation now and explore what happens when we allow ourselves to truly slow down enough to listen. AJ, thank you so much for being here with me. What a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
So AJ, we are talking about your incredible retreats Within the Darkness, and the ultimatedarknessretreat.com is where all of our listeners can find out more. But before we go into the retreats and what that involves and looks like, tell us your backstory. What led you to launching the Darkness Retreat?
You know, the main reason why we started Darkness Retreat, so first the location in Poland and now rolling it to other places, other countries, was my own experience. So I went to US back in January 2023, and I did my first darkness experience in Oregon. And that changed my life. And for me, it was simply giving back type of, you know, action at the very beginning. I didn't know that the darkness and running darkness retreat and teaching it would influence my life as it did, that it will take me as a river, you know. So that was the main reason why we started it.
Amazing. And so, but why darkness retreats for yourself? I mean, there are lots of retreats out there, lots of opportunities to find ourselves or support ourselves through whatever life is throwing at us.
I had an incident in my life couple of years before my first darkness retreat, where I encountered complete stillness for a very short period of time in extreme conditions, where my so-called life, my physical existence was threatened, and my mind stopped. I was completely present, but there was no thoughts. I was aware of everything, but I didn't think. And it was actually very blissful, incredible, blissful moment. So despite the circumstances, which were quite harsh, I started seeking this state. And of course, I was following well-beaten track, which is meditation, prolonged time of solitude, silence, you know, times of being solo, also breath work, intense breath work. But none of this worked. I couldn't get to the same state. So there was a moment I gave up. I thought it was just accident that what happened to me. And then just by incident, I just saw someone on Instagram taking off the mask and writing about darkness experience in the US. And when I looked at it, I said, wow. So it was in the evening. I instantly messaged the facility in the US providing darkness experience, wanting to sign up. And I wrote, sign me up, the first possible date. And that's how it started. So I had kind of calling. Something told me I want to do that. It was from, you know, this probably some spiritual perspective at the time. But you know, there was also other reason. I was always adventurer and I always wanted to have more. You know, so for me, it looked like cool, another extreme experience that I just wanted to experience.
Amazing. And so you go there. Had you got much expectation of what that experience was going to include and how long you were going to be in that experience? Was it programmed out like the incredible retreats you do now have so much thought behind them, and we'll move into that. But was this similar? Had it been programmed?
No, it was not programmed at all. So the owner of this facility just asked me how long would I like to stay. And I told him the number. You know, at that time, I was a busy businessman. So for me, I had to plan my calendar. Everything was connected with something else, some other meeting. So for me, flying from Switzerland, where I live, to US, it was an adventure. It was a trip. So I instantly planned my meetings in California, in San Francisco, both private and business meetings. So it had to fit. There was no program. Most probably, this was one of the reasons why we programmed our, because I thought that it might be more richer experience, more safe, you know, experience that I had. So yes, this is how it went. It was more spontaneous.
Incredible. And I can see that adventurer and seeker within you. And interesting, as you said, that you'd planned it, this really immersive retreat, seeking, you know, change in this blissful state, but whilst also busying yourself around to that moment and planning in all this other stuff to optimize the time and the experience. So talk me through your experience of going through the darkness then. That sort of changed everything for you. In what ways that made you go, I need more of this and I need to help other people see the light through the darkness?
So, well, let me address what you just said before I answer, this tactical question, what was there inside. You see, I was living in this paradigm and I was so busy, you know, of doing, of getting, you know, job, private life, and so on and so forth. And there was always so much to do. So I was a slave to my mind. So the doing was, you know, the substance of my life. It was the script of my life, what to do. So I was using people, situation, things, practices, supplements to make me different, to make me feel better. So that's why I went to Oregon with that. I planned everything. So this experience was supposed to give me something. So there was something out there which I was supposed to. So it's like taking something into your mouth or into your veins that's finally will make me better. And this is how I was at the time. You see, I didn't know that everything what I need, all the peace that I was seeking, the stillness, the happiness, the ease in relationship, the ability to forgive, you see, on the daily basis, myself and others, is within me. So this place facilitated something that actually happened within me, and it's accessible to everyone, regardless gender, level of education, financial means, or whatever. That is, it is accessible to everyone. People call it God. People call it universe. Some call it higher power, force of nature, source of creation. They are just names given by the mind because we try to understand. Mind is construed to understand. So when I went out from there, I wanted to provide the platform that people can discover within themselves that the source of all creation. So it's self-discovery done through the self-inquiry. And that was my journey, Michel. You see, I was sitting in this darkness. First, I encountered horrible boredom. I did push-ups, sansa rotation. I was incredibly bored. I was planning things, you know, sitting there. And then suddenly, in front of my eyes, I got this memory. And in memory, in a split of a second, you see and hear so many details and everything. And this memory was so much deep inside me. So if someone would ask me, I wouldn't remember. But when I saw it, I knew, even though it was digged so deep. So in short, I was badly abused as a little boy. And it came to me, I reminded this, I instantly recognized the room, the adults that hurt me. And I started to cry, you see. I started to roll in crying. It was between self-pity for this boy that I still thought it was me, for myself, for this adult's anger, huge anger, and also resentment. There was some resentment also coming from my parents that they didn't get it, you know. They didn't see it. They were not careful enough and everything. So it went and on and on and on. And then I went to sleep and I just laid down. And as I closed my eyes, I hear the voice. It was Ananda Jay, something calling. And I said, yes, here I am. And then again, Ananda said, yes, I am. And then again, Ananda Jay, I said, yes, I am. And I woke up. It was a dream. It felt like real. It felt like I didn't fall asleep. I just closed my eyes and it was in the room. And I thought, what a strange dream. What is this, Ananda? I don't understand this. You know, my name is Wojciech. I come from Poland, living in Switzerland, business person, lawyer. So I sat back, you know, in meditation and this memory came back. And I remember I looked at it and I said, wait a second, who is playing that? I already cried over it. And this little boy is not existing. It happened more than 40 years ago. Half of those adults are dead already. So who is playing that? Then I asked myself, so, and who is the one seeing that? And then my mind stopped, collapsed. After this question, I got the extreme, you know, light in my face, my right side, you know, purple light. When suddenly I saw myself down there sitting with this light on my face. And I thought I died. I was sure I was dead. I was not scared. Then it started so blissful, beautiful. I can't explain in words. And then I went back into my body again. I heard the man brought me food. So I went out of this, started speaking. So my mind started operating again. I pick up food. He asked me if I want to speak. I said, I don't want to speak anymore. Over wooden doors there in Oregon. And I showered and I rushed. I wanted to see if I can go back in this state. You see? And I sat there and this peace and peace and no mind came back instantly. And it was like snap. And then I hear the noise. Are you there, buddy? Hey, buddy, are you there? Are you there? And my mind started. And I realized, you know, the man who brought me food, he came again. And I said, hey, Scott, how are you doing? Have you forgotten anything? And he said, no, it's the next day. How are you? Then I knew. Something profound happened. I was sitting there in 24 hours in complete bliss. I was not sore. For me, it was like a few seconds, so minute, like a snap. So when I got out, I had to integrate this, of course. But this is why. I realized if it could happen to me, then it can happen to anyone.
And that's so powerful, isn't it, AJ? I mean, thank you for sharing, but that is just such a powerful way to reconnect with yourself, but also in a world that is seeking solutions from outside ourselves, what a powerful message that actually this is all within. This is all capable. There was no psychedelics involved. There was no induced state. This was just you. And that in itself is really beautiful. Hold that thought. We're just going to take a quick commercial break and then AJ and I will be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, where I'm talking to the brilliant AJ, co-founder of Within Darkness Retreats. So let's jump back into the conversation.
You see, it is so simple to awaken. You see, and to live awakened life, not sitting somewhere on the stone, I don't know, bench with a halo or whatever people think about this. You know, they call it names, enlightenment or awakening, whatever that is. But it's so simple and it's available to anyone. Anyone can awaken in a split of a second. And, you know, people ask me, yes, you say everyone can awaken, but I don't see many enlightened people on the street. When I go, wherever I go, I don't see people awake. So why are you saying it is so easy? You see, because the awakening is very easy. What is difficult for us is to let go of attachment. Attachment is like an anchor. It's like a cage of our mind that keeps us unawakened in dreamlike state. And then we can't stop our mind, of course. Once we attach to the story that we have in our head, mainly about ourselves, it's so much me in this story. Me from the past, what I did, what I achieved, what I want, what I struggled with, and me, what I will do in the future, or how much I'm afraid about the future. It's all about me. It's always I and me. If this is removed, there is a space for freedom. And then we can start living consciously, you see. Then we can start using our mind whenever we want. When we want to plan, create, whatever that is, with the possibility to stop thinking, be peaceful whenever we want.
And that freedom sounds like something many people would love to experience. And obviously, we know some of them are the ones out there seeking it through lots of different means and lots of different resources. So talk us through the retreats themselves, what that looks like for somebody embarking on that. How does that happen? The cabins themselves, I know, have been incredibly well thought out and considered. So talk to us about what somebody would experience at an ultimate darkness retreat with you.
So first of all, one must know that we run this darkness retreat believing that it has to be safe. So the darkness is not for everyone. So at the very beginning, we run quite strict exclusion protocol. You know, it is like with any exercise or any engagement. Meditation is also not for everyone. Yoga is not for everyone, even though they're so wonderful practices and we practice them daily, many of us here at Within, but they are not for everyone. The same is with the darkness. So first and foremost, validated exclusion protocol. We ask questions, we get answers, and this is based on questionnaires for those who would like to participate. And then we do the interview. So we do a lot of intention and time consuming to make sure that someone is fit for the experience. When this is ticked, there is a preparatory program. We constantly prove this preparatory program. So retreat counselor would typically give some tips how to prepare, and people will get written description how to prepare for the program. So I was not prepared. I just came in there with my three suitcases in US when I was going. So here I wanted people to get prepared. Why is that? Because I want a safe and deep experience. This is what I would like to provide. Then on day one, it starts the journey when you cannot go into the darkness just like that. Many places in the world just offer you come, you get familiar and just go. I believe for your emotional and mental safety, you have to go to the darkness gradually. It means first 15 minutes, then you turn on the light. You leave the cabin. You see this is a safe place. No one locked you in the darkness somewhere in the middle of Poland or wherever that is. Soon we'll be, in the middle of nature outside London or Amsterdam. But still, no one wants to be locked. No one wants to sit in the darkness without possibility to break it at any time. So, but if I tell you, right now you're locked and, you can do this is whatever you want. This will be your intellectual knowledge. It will be on the base of on your intellect, not your experience. The safety is created when we create neuro connections in our brain through the experience. And it's like jumping from 5 meters to the water. Everyone is a little bit scared. But once you do it over and over and over and over again, you just scream with joy when you jump, right? Because you know it's safe. You did it. So 15 minutes, couple of, 1 hour, 2 hours, so going to darkness and coming out to nature. Calming down, digital detox start. And then we have in our program Circle of Trust, because here there were a few couples coming, but typically people come, they don't know each other. And people come here from all places in the world. We had people from 22 countries. So they are different genders, they different age, different background, and we get to know each other. And we start to prepare. The preparation is individual. You go back into your cabin. either in light or outside the cabin, you start writing stuff that you don't want in your life. So you don't have to deal with this in the darkness. Many places, they don't see that people come with such a you know, heavy baggage, you know, heavy backpack on all the experiences, traumas. For me, the heaviest is the confusion they have, you see. The confusion from seeking as well. That's what I experience, you know, you get confused. At the end, you don't know who you are. You start to repeating some fake prophets statement, which sounds right, but, you know, had nothing to do with your life and your emotional and inner state. And it's adding on wearing masks, pretending someone. So we want to clean this up a little bit. It's guided by very experienced guides. So our guides, first and foremost, that they have clinical experience. They're psychologists. Second of all, they are on spiritual paths. They understand spirituality, which is not connected with any particular practice or religion or this. We are not imposing any book, with all respects with those books that were written. But we don't promote any book or any teacher, any particular teaching. And these people are darkness practitioners. So they can also guide from experience. So once you have a rock like that, someone who will lead you to the darkness, we promote finding inner guru, opening to inner guru, your inner wisdom, because we all have an access to it. We just quiet this. If we give this authority outside, we cannot be faithful. For some time, it is very useful, and I recommend that. That's why it's nothing wrong that we are seeking. It's a process. Throughout seeking, suddenly, we can become independent. We can become... So then there is a darkness, and throughout darkness, you know, retreat counselor, he would come every day. He would speak through the wooden doors, not to break the darkness, bring the food. But within, it's different than maybe other places you were comparing. We treat it as a mission. I don't want to be too serious about it. You know, seriousness kills spirituality. But we are available 24/7. We are of service to these people. We are not to impose something on them. We are of service. So to some, I come once a day, but if someone needs me 3-4 times a day, then I'll there. Because they don't know whether it's a day or night. They're in the darkness. They can call me up at 2:00 at night, and I'm there. I'm there to speak. For some, I just come and I sit in silence. My presence is speaking enough for them. We don't need words. With some, we chant or sing. Through those doors, they are still in the darkness. Nevertheless, this is paramount. This is very, very, very important for us. We believe that it has to be assisted darkness experience. One shouldn't do it on his own. If he doesn't want to speak for us, he has to at least say, answer the questions. Are you okay? Yes. Okay. You know, do you need anything? No. Yes. This would be the very, 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 very minimal. But we need to check on people, and people need to unload. Many people are not fit to sit in the darkness and solitude. After the 3 or 4 days in darkness, for the beginning, of course, seasoned practitioners come here for longer, we share. And this is so powerful. You see, when I got out of darkness, I couldn't speak to anyone. There was no reception in this place. I felt so out of space. The experience was incredible, but then my mind started picking up, questioning everything. Even calling, I was calling myself names in my head. Then maybe I got crazy. Maybe all of this. And then peace. And then mind. No one to share with. Was this light real or it was hallucination? And all those questions you get. So when we get out here at within, you got 5-10 people in the circle and they share, and suddenly you hear, I also got light. And oh, I had another color of light, and I had a light from here because some chakra was open. All right. I'm not getting mad. It's not hallucination. Some other people also had that similar. And that's how we integrate. That's how we integrate the experience. We integrate it in the group. It's facilitated. Second of all, we so much believe in, you know, in sound healing. There are frequencies that heal us, that let us integrate. Last but not least, we teach people throughout the experience from the very beginning, and also when they are in and outside, conscious breathing. Breathwork, I think, is miraculous modality. It's available. You have many, many teachers, some more extravagant and powerful, like Wim Hof, my friend. which I really support. But there are others who do, you know, more gently. You know, if out of Britain, you've got an amazing Niraj with Soma breathwork and others, you see. So we would blend, we will mix different breathing techniques, gentle, more intense, depends on the group, to prepare and help to integrate. So that would be basically it, but there is a cherry on the cake. This is something very important. At the end of your experience, you are going to meet online. So we are here present physically, but online on huge screen, we have people who left the darkness 1 week ago, 1 month ago, 6 months ago, 1 year ago, and they share in our satsang. Satsang is a meeting in truth. There is no agenda. They share how is life after darkness. And this is so powerful. People have also questioned, how will I integrate that? And you don't ask some authority, some this great one, that big master. You know, we have masters here. You can hear this from people like you, how it is to live after darkness. Is it really sustainable? Is this experience, is this shift sustainable? And it's very empowering because, you know, on this screen, you see that this is not staged. These are people, you know, logging in from US, Sweden, Norway, I don't know, Spain, Ukraine, wherever that is. See? And they did what you did. And it's very empowering.
I think that's so important. And actually, we've talked about this once before, but for me, as a practicing psychotherapist as well, I see all these different retreats. Of course, we have lots happening in the world of medicinal mushrooms, particularly, and people going on these experiences. And one, they're often facilitated by people with very little experience and very little clinical experience, maybe haven't even tried the process themselves, have no firsthand experience of it. But safety, I love the fact that safety sits at the heart of everything you do. And the exclusion program is there, not to kind of make it elite, but to help and ensure the people that are coming into the program are suitable and ready, and that you recognize that, and that that's an ever-evolving sort of exclusion program. And I think that's so important for people to do the groundwork, to recognize what is it I'm looking to get from this? What is it I'm going into? And preparing for that, you know, mentally as well as physically. And I love the fact that over your programs, I know your main sort of program people enter into is a 6-day program and 3 days in the darkness, isn't it? And so they have this opportunity to kind of, as you say, kind of tease themselves in a little bit of darkness gently. And it just really brings up to my mind that hand holding, that opportunity to kind of gently walk someone in at a pace that's right and ready for them. And there are more and more programs that are doing that bit better. Often, once retreats are finished, they're finished. I mean, you may be left on their mailing list, but you're not often supported. And often that's where people fall off a cliff, isn't it? Because they've had this experience, whatever that means to them. And then they don't know how to integrate it back into their family, into their work, into their life. And so it's not that the experience is wasted, but it often sits as a silo then, or in conflict. And so I love the fact that you hold that hand from the start and you kind of really don't let go, do you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Michelle. You can come for satsang every week. You know, there is a satsang wherever you are in the world. And once we now roll it to the world, to other locations, you will be able to come physically. So imagine that, you know, you did your retreat, I don't know where, let's say in Poland. But you know, at 6 p.m., every Saturday or every Friday, we have one Saturday, one Friday, you can go there 40 minutes from London in the nature and people will be sitting there in silence. And then they will be sharing how is life after darkness. There will be one common denominator. We all went through the same. It's, you know, 40 minutes, half an hour, sometimes 1 hour. And it's so incredible. And I see people coming back to satsang after 2-3 months. They haven't participated and then they want to reconnect. And you know how they reconnected? When they hear people leaving darkness, those who just left, because they share as well. And we hear it every week. Wow, when I heard you sharing, it was like my experience. They connect. So this is one thing. On the other, retreat counselors, all of us are vowed that if anyone needs integration, they are going to meet this person on the weekly basis to integrate the experience if the need be. Last but not least, this is still in making, 12 months integration program, which will be digital with different kind of things that you could do, which are validated, which are not you know, woo-woo or this type of thing. And it should be, in my view, you know, included in this. So it should be free to sign up the vast majority of this. So we're working on even more intense integration program for those. But right now, every week you can reconnect. We can reconnect and reintegrate.
We still have more to come here on Ancient Wisdom Modern Science, but first let's take a quick commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Michelle Hammond, and this is Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science, where I'm chatting to the fascinating AJ from Within Darkness Retreats as we explore what darkness can teach us about rest, resilience, awareness, and being human.
And that's so important. I mean, community connection is so powerful and important anyway, isn't it? But as you say, to be able to have that opportunity to dock in, share, listen, be reminded, and have the support, that's so sort of invaluable in day-to-day living. I mean, that kind of lovely saying of it takes a village is there for a reason, right? We're never supposed to live in isolation.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, human experience is about connection. You see, you know, I can tell you from my experience in the present, you know, I love to talk to you. You know, I'm grateful that you invited me. I see your smiley eyes. And it's great, isn't it? This is this moment, this connection. And it's the most important part, I believe, that the fundament of all other experiences is the connection. If we can really connect, open and connect. And more, and now you help me with the word vulnerable, the more ready to open your heart and share, the more freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. But also the risk is the more vulnerable somebody is, the more advantage can be taken of them. And in a lot of retreats that we see, particularly where there's induction of medications or mind-altering sort of drugs and stuff is there are stories of people that are taken advantage of, whether that's just unsupported, ill-prepared, elevated through the process. And that's what I love about this concept is that actually it is just about reconnecting with yourself in a really safe, very well considered sort of program and event. There's nothing outside of you. And I spend my time forever just trying to educate and empower people to recognize the power they do have and the ability they do have to sort of help themselves and support themselves. And so I love it when we have support and solutions that actually reinforce that. And it's not like, well, come to this retreat and buy this book and come to this retreat and take this potion and come to this retreat and then sort of spend all this or invest this. It often there's an undercurrent, isn't there, that can make you go, okay, what's sort of happening there? So I love the purity and the simplicity of this.
Thanks, Michelle. You're very kind. But you see, it is so human. When the human is in the cage of its own mind, is driven by fear. You see, the true freedom is stemming from lack of fear. This is the foundation. This is the foundation. I'm not afraid. So those people are afraid that they will lose something. It's FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, so they, when they have someone who is not suitable for the plant experience or whatever ceremony you call it, they don't even ask. They see the money, they pick up the money because they're afraid that they will lose something, you see? And this is out of fear we can create suffering for ourselves and others. This is all out of fear. So we would exclude people fearlessly because we know that someone who is not fit today for the darkness can be fit in 3 months or in 3 years. And, you know, we are here in the business, which is about spirituality, how to run the conscious business. And this is how you run. You let go of the fear. You understand, you breathe the fact. For you, this is a fact that 3 months, 3 years, 30 years is nothing in the eyes of eternity. So who cares?
And so talking of fear, we do have to address the elephant in the room, which is this retreat concept splits people, doesn't it? You've got, and I've tested this with just my immediate friendship group, and I've got half of them that go, oh my gosh, yes, the idea of going into the darkness and having an opportunity to be silent and still and supported safely through that experience, and they're curious and they're open to that experience and are wanting of finding that inner peace. And then I've got the other half that go, I want that, but the darkness, no. That actually fear and darkness have a kind of interrelationship anyway, don't they? How have you found that in sort of the community you've attracted and sort of discussed this with?
Yes. First, let me address what you said. I watched it in some movie, you know, and the character was saying everything what is said before but it's worth nothing. So I want that, but darkness, no. So this I want that. You see, first of all, fear of darkness is our natural fear. It is embedded in our, you know, genotype throughout of evolution. 1,000 or 3,000 or 10,000 years ago, you and I, Michelle, we wouldn't like darkness. Darkness was a danger. We wanted to hide. You know, if we didn't see this, what was, we would be afraid. So you have to realize that, okay, it's natural. I live in a very safe place. I'm guided. I have a very safe facility. So there comes maturity. I come rational mind. But, you know, for people who believe it's too difficult for them, I recommend silence. Try and see. So first, again, gradually, step by step, try to disconnect. Let go of the electronics, all the devices. Let go of it. Digital detox. See what is happening with you when you are constantly not bombarded and this and dopamine spike, and let go. And see how much energy do you spend when you speak. See how you reactive you are. And we even, you know, started this. We started that the brand is called Be Silence. Because I noticed on one hand that there are many people who now want to go into darkness. Their first step was Vipassana. But I also noticed that Vipassana is incredible. It's beautiful practice. I love it. I practice myself. You know, I have never been on Vipassana retreat, but I practice as Vipassana protocol is myself. But it's very hard. 9 days, 14 days, and it's very strict. I said, how about offering 3-4 days in silence? So that would be the first right step I would recommend for those I want that, but. But last but not least, you see, we don't have to be so nervous or serious about it. At the end, everyone will awake. Some, at the moment of their death, there will be no fear. There will be no fear whatsoever. Of course, you can do it at any time, as I said. It's available. But this is invitation to face your fear, to look fear into the eyes. And what we say here at Within, for us, it doesn't matter if someone breaks the darkness after half day. Then they will have an incredible great retreat in the nature. They can come and go to their cabin. It's not the competition you show here. It's your path. It's your self-inquiry. And with this easiness, guess what? Miracles happen. Miracles happen. We have cured diseases. Of course, I don't want to speak loud about it because it's not validated yet, right? And I don't want to join this bunch of people who have some incidents without validation and they promise something. So I don't want to overpromise. But I, in my eyes, I had people healing from mental disease, from anxieties, from PTSD, you know, from even OCD, coming and doing the darkness. But it had to be based on the fact that they can break it at any time, that it doesn't matter if they do 2 hours, 2 days, or 20 days. It doesn't matter. It stops to be so important. The more important is they experience in the present moment. And this is what we teach, the stillness in the present moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, as well as some of those more exemplary benefits, there are also improved sleep and reduced stress reduction from doing this sort of retreat, and improved cognitive function and enhanced brain activity. Tell us about those.
You see, you get benefits of darkness on three levels. It's like, we all heard it, body, mind, and soul. So you've got physiological benefits. And this is mainly and very supportive also for hormonal balance. And a lot of our female, guests who struggle with menopause change, they really appreciate. So, but not only those, so you get a hormonal regulation. You get the decrease of the stress, and it's the stress hormones, and recalibration of your sleep. Definitely, some people improve sight as well. It can happen. It's not guaranteed, but we have those who report that. On the emotional level, people get rid of those stories very often. They see them, it's just repeated. No one wants to hear them anymore, including themselves. Leave me and my past story, sad story, la la. So there is the rediscovered joy. But what is the most important? Vast majority of our participants, they report the increase of their resilience towards adversities of life. You see, lack of this resilience is the underlying cause for burnout, depression, anxieties. If you lose this resilience, every problem, every obstacle, it's a drama. More and more drama and more and more drama. And we cannot take it anymore. We are wear out. This emotional wear out, that people are worn out. They just can't anymore. And they call it burnout or others, and they are diagnosed. So in the darkness, you get this resilience. Because you know what? When you leave the darkness, problems will happen. They will happen. The disease will be there. The death will be there, or beloved, and so on and so forth. Disappointment. In the darkness, you can see the nature of it. It's not the pain that creates the suffering. The suffering is my narrative about the pain. So if I lose the narrative, if I allow the narrative, not engage with the narrative, I don't suffer. Yes, I might be in pain, but I don't suffer. I can still be smiling. Number three, this is mental. Wait, bear with me. I know I talk too much and maybe too long. I'm just passionate about it. Number three, it is a spiritual benefit. Because of secretion of DMT after day three. So those who want to have I call it sober psychedelic, self-produced, natural and safe experience with a heightened vision, connecting with the higher power of their understanding. Cult or whatever they call it, this is what happened. And very often people also have visuals. So this experience is on the spiritual level. And this is the benefit of darkness. People start to understand what the word that is in all the books, in most of the books, songs and movies, the word love, that we lose to understand what it is. And you reconnect with love in the darkness and get a deep understanding of love, the own understanding.
That's so powerful, AJ. Well, I think it's definitely something that I hope the listeners agree is worth exploring. And I just think in and of itself, it seems like such a natural thing to do. And I love even just the name within kind of says everything, doesn't it? Is such an incredible idea. And I love, as I said, the safety, the consideration, the gentleness of which you guide people in through the program and out the other side, which I think is so, so important when we're supporting people through any form of change. If you want to learn more, then do have a look at theultimatedarknessretreat.com, and we'll pop all the links to the socials so you can learn more about AJ and the retreats. But AJ, to wrap up, if you could share something that you haven't yet to the listeners about the darkness retreat, about you, about their opportunities within it, what would that be?
First and foremost, it is not about AJ. It is about within team. I just want to make it clear, with my partner, life partner and co-founder within Kinga, without Chris, and many other people, and now our past participants who come in and join the effort. Like Naveen, like Richard from Poland, and Danny, Diederik, you know, many people from different countries, they join and it wouldn't be existing. So no man is stronger than the team. And my message is simple. Reach out. Try. If not here, somewhere else. Do this first right step. It is accessible. It is accessible to anyone. That I cannot explain in words. That's why I will get into silence. But this is what is accessible, brings peace, inner peace and joy of life. It is accessible to you at any time and it can be found within.
Beautiful. And AJ, thank you for sharing your wisdom and all of the insights on the Within retreats. It's been an absolute joy to spend time with you. Thank you so much.
Same here. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for inviting me.
You've been listening to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, and my guest, AJ, co-founder from Within Darkness Retreats. You can learn more about AJ and the Within program and team at theultimatedarknessretreat.com. That's theultimatedarknessretreat.com. I hope today's conversation has encouraged you to reflect on the power of stillness, silence, and stepping away from constant stimulation, even briefly, to reconnect with yourself in a deeper and more meaningful way. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is Darkness Retreat something you'd ever consider? Perhaps you've already experienced one and have insights you could share. Or maybe, like a few people, the idea of complete darkness feels unsettling or even frightening. Either way, I'd love to continue the conversation, so please do reach out. If you enjoyed this episode, please do share it with someone you think would love it too. And remember to follow, like, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and radio shows. To connect with me, you can explore my professional training work through Teapot Education. That's tpot.org.uk. Or you can learn more about my private clinic and one-to-one integrative health and well-being support by visiting michellehammond.co.uk. Until next time, take care of yourself. And remember, sometimes we find the greatest clarity, not in the light, but in the darkness.